Go ahead and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Book of Exodus, chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 8 through 11. And we're going to talk about remembering the Sabbath. I believe it's an important topic for us to talk about. A year and a half ago, I had the great privilege to go to Israel and arrived there on a Thursday afternoon, actually a Thursday morning, and we did some things that day, mainly slept to recover from the 12-hour plane ride that we had there. And the group that was going with us, they got delayed, so we had nothing else to do. But when we woke up the next day, it was Friday morning, and things seemed to be normal that day until evening about dusk. And once dusk came in, which is right around 6 o'clock in that area, things began to change drastically in the land of Israel. And it was almost as if that whole country begins to shut down from Friday evening until Saturday. Now, one thing that I didn't know what was taking place until later on when I experienced the next beginning of the Sabbath the following week, and little did I know, they keep a lot of their businesses open on the Sabbath. But it's not normally the Jews that work during these times. There are a lot of Americans that travel over there, and they'll live there for the tourism season so that things can stay open and we as tourists can go around and begin to buy things that we would like to purchase so that the Jewish people can still have their time off. And I thought that was pretty unique. I began to really minister to my heart on how important it is to keep the Sabbath. Now, of course, we're not Jews. I understand that. We celebrate the Lord's Day on the first day of the week, which is today. And I'm thankful for that opportunity that we have to wake up every morning to freely worship God through prayer, through reading our Bible, and other things that we can do. I'm thankful for that. And it's something that I believe we take for granted at times. There are some folks that go to church underground. They got to worship in secret. They don't have the liberty that we have. Some can be killed if they have been found out that they are worshiping God. And be grateful for the land that we live in, because even to this day we still have that freedom. So I'm grateful for those things. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll begin to read what God has laid upon my heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us. I'm grateful that we're able to hear the blessings that you have allowed your people to experience this week. And Lord, I know there's probably many more blessings that weren't lifted up to you, and some are shy. I understand those things. But God, I pray, Lord, that as we go about our own lives, that we would begin to rehearse to you daily on how grateful we are to you and for you for working in our lives. And Lord, we might not always see it at times, but God, we know that you are working behind the scenes, and we are grateful for those things. Lord, help us to be attentive to your word tonight, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy sons, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." We are to remember the Sabbath day. The fifth commandment is given to the Jews. And that fifth commandment, as I just said, is to remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was specifically set aside to do two things. One, to put off work. The second, most importantly, is to honor the Lord thy God. And that's what needs to be done. It was also a day of rest and not even lifting a plow to the field. You've got to understand their occupation during this time, that this was given to the Jews. Their work was a lot different than ours. They didn't have a time card where they had to punch in on a daily basis. They went out to the fields. They plowed those fields. And by the way, it's not an easy field to plow out there. I've shared many stories with you on how rocky that terrain is out there. A lot of hard work for them to go out. Just in the town of Nazareth, it's on a hillside. They still plow that field by hand. It's not done with the tools that we have today. It's all done by hand. It's all hard work and a lot of sweat, a lot of tears flowed into those fields to give them the needs for them to survive on a daily basis. And so it came time down for the Sabbath day for them to rest. It would begin at dusk on a Friday evening and would end at dusk on Saturday evening as well. Today, we set aside the Lord's Day for us on Sunday, and it is a time for us to worship. Not only is it a time for us to worship the Lord God, but it is a time for us to ponder upon the things that He has done in our lives. So often, we go about our lives not even taking into consideration what God has done or what God even means to us. Not only is it a time for us to worship, not only is it a time for us to ponder, but it's a time for us to meditate upon the Lord. How often do we go through our days not even meditating upon the Word of God? Maybe we don't even pick up the Word of God to read it to begin with. Maybe that's why that might not take place in some lives. I hope that's not the case for you. But we need to meditate upon the Lord, thanking Him for His greatness, thanking Him for His grace and His mercy that He bestows upon us on a daily basis. Meditating upon the very words that we are able to read, be able to transform our lives because of the very words. But I want you to see what the fifth commandment starts out with here. In verse number 8, it says, remember, remember. This word is usually brought into a sentence because someone or somebody has forgotten something. That's why this takes place. Could it be that even the Jews had a hard time setting time aside to honor the Lord? It says, remember the Sabbath day. The Lord's Day isn't something that we should forget. But so often we live in a life, in a world today, that the Lord's Day is forgotten. It's not a day of necessity. It's not a day for us to recognize, to go in and to be able to worship the Lord. It's a day that is forgotten by many across this great land of ours. It is a special day. I look forward to the Lord's Day. I look forward to reuniting with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And you're my brothers and sisters in Christ because of the blood that He shed for you and for me. I look forward to those days of having a family reunion, being away from you guys throughout the week, and be able to reunite with you once again, and to be able to rehearse what God has done in our lives. It's a special day. It's a day to reflect back on what the Lord has done for us. Look at what He's done for you throughout that week. I know He's not here tonight, but a lot of you folks probably haven't even... you don't even know what's going on. But Donovan was in an accident Friday. And Jordan happened to see the accident take place. But he can reflect back and say, man, God brought me through this. God saw me through this. It's a time for us to rehearse God's greatness in our lives, to reflect on what He's done for us. It is time for us as we come and remember the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. It is a time, as I said a little bit earlier, it's a time to be thankful for His grace and for His mercy. You know, we don't deserve either one of those things, but He gives us those things. You know, we as children growing up, moms and dads, they bestow their grace and their mercy upon us. Why do they do those things for us? Because of the love that they have for us. And that's the same way with Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop there because they have been given more instructions on what to do on this special day. But if I can get this clear to you tonight, please remember the Lord's Day. It is a day that we need to recognize. It is a day that we need to celebrate. It is a day that we need to set aside to worship our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we are to keep it holy. It says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, meaning don't defraud it or demean it in any way. The best thing that you and I could do in keeping the Lord's Day holy is by not filtrating our minds with the things of this world, such as the things we allow ourselves to see and to hear throughout the day. I believe it's a special day to put away those things, to listen to the Word of God that says, be still and know that I am God. Well, how can we be still and know that He is God if we're allowing all these outside influences to filtrate our minds throughout the day? that the Lord has created for him to be worshiped. Remove yourself from those things. I'm going to go a little bit back into my childhood, if you don't mind. I can remember a day as a kid when Sunday was a special day for all of us. Bed was early on Saturday night. We had a bedtime. My daughter laughed at that, but I can remember my bedtime being 8 o'clock. I can remember it being extended as I got older to 9 o'clock. And the older I got to be to 10 o'clock. I remember those things. Mom and Dad were strict on those things. And as a kid, I didn't really care for it at that time, but now I begin to appreciate those things. No one likes to be told to go to bed. Now, I don't need to be told to bed. I just go to bed. That's a good thing about getting older. You just, yeah, it's time for bed. That's only 7:30. I know, Gary, it's tough. But that's just the way it is. I remember those times. Church was in the morning. Family meals would begin to follow those things. I don't know if Christy and Jeff, you remember those things. Mom always had a big meal for us on Sunday afternoons. It was either pot roast or some other thing that she would make for us. And it was a time for us to gather around as a table. I also remember after we're done eating, it was a time for us to take a nap. It was a time for rest, not to turn on the television. By the way, a lot of you kids don't understand this and might not even know this, but up until the age of 10, we didn't have a television in our house. And those were good years. You want to know why those were good years? Because we knew how to play with each other. We knew how to get along. We knew how to use our minds and our imaginations. And the best of all, we didn't have Hollywood infiltrating our minds with the stuff that we see today. And so I remember those times. It was a time for us to rest with our eyes closed and sometimes with our eyes open. And if we happened to wake up and be stir crazy, we had to be quiet so that Mom and Dad can get the rest that they needed. By the way, I didn't understand this as a kid, but as you begin to preach the Word of God on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, it wears you out immensely. It truly does. I can remember when Pastor was in the hospital and I took care of the services on Sunday evening, on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings. Monday, I was worn out. The legs in my body just ached like you wouldn't believe. And it's amazing. But I can understand why those things took place. And then we'd have church that evening. Here's what didn't happen. Church was important to us. But what didn't happen was what takes place in our lives today, and that's trying to be busy in between time from morning till the evening services. I believe that's one of the greatest disservices that you and I can do to this day, is trying to fulfill our lives with things of this world in between services. I believe after a pastor preaches the messages on Sunday morning, this is my personal belief and this is my personal conviction. I'm not trying to pass it upon you and trying to make this your own conviction, but this is my conviction. I believe we need to go home and begin to meditate upon what we have just learned and what God has taught us through his word. You know, he spends many hours throughout the week giving us a lesson. It's something that shouldn't just be, I'm just going to listen to it and I might get up and go to the altar and forget all about it. No, it's more than that. It's going home and meditating upon what was said that day. And I believe that's missing in our lives today, to be honest with you. I really do. I think it's a time that we need to really consider what we need to do in between services. Keeping it holy is meditating on the things of God that was taught that morning. My father-in-law was a great man. Most of you folks, you never got the chance to meet him. You don't know him, really. I've talked about him on many different occasions. He was a hard man to try to get to understand. But he's a gracious man. He was a loving man. And great memories of him. I remember when my wife and I began to date. And I would call his house and would ask for to be able to speak with Chris. And he was a man that wasn't quick on his response. And I remember calling there, just to give you an idea of who he is, I say, "Hello?" And it almost seemed like for eternity. His response is, I'm not kidding you, and Chris will testify to this. It's about 35, maybe 40 seconds later. His response would be, "Hello?" And I would say, "Is Chris there?" And then that seemed like an eternity, like 5 minutes. And so I say this for a reason. He was hard to get to know, but once I got to know him, he was a very gracious man. And I appreciate some things that he taught me in life. And there's one of the things I'm gonna share with you. So once I began to appreciate him very much, we didn't always see eye to eye. But the one thing that we had in common was our love for the Lord. And I appreciate that about him. But later on in life, he took on setting aside the Sabbath day, the day that the Jews recognized. And what I learned from him was this: his love and respect for God that he had was so overwhelming in my life. And so as he began to take upon setting aside the Sabbath day, what he did as I began to watch the next few years in his life was I really began to watch his relationship grow with God. And I began to appreciate that and began to appreciate his knowledge that he began to have about the Jewish lifestyle and those things that came with it. But from Friday evening till Saturday night, you want to know what he did? He worshiped the Lord. He wouldn't even lift a finger to the house. He worshiped the Lord. I would go there on Friday evening, the times when we spend a weekend there on occasions. And I can remember as we got there at dusk time, it was time for him to settle down. It was time for him to turn off the television, to turn off the things from the world. And he did nothing but meditate and begin to worship God. And that did something in my life that I began to be so appreciative for later on. And that was his love and his respect that he had. So he wouldn't do a thing. I haven't always been successful as he was in doing that. But it's something that I try to do in my life on Sundays. Most of you guys, I don't care to do anything on Sunday afternoons or Sunday evenings. I really don't. Because me personally, I think it takes away from what we've been trying to get established at church and on learning what God has for us that day. I don't like the distractions that take place throughout the day. That's just me personally. But I'm not always successful at those things. And so I try to do this in my life. But think about this. We are so involved in the world for 6 days a week. Why can't we set some time aside without any interruptions for him? Why is it so hard and why is it so difficult just to give God one day when we give 6 days of it to this world? A world that is temporary. A world that's not eternal. God's eternal. I don't know if you've read the book of Revelation, but there's an ending for this world. It's all going to burn. It's corrupt. But God is eternal, and we dedicate more time for this world than we do for God. It's hard to get people to come to church today. It's hard to get people to come to prayer meetings today because people have become so busy with their lifestyle. God is no longer first in their life. God has become second, maybe third, maybe fourth and fifth in their life. And that's unfortunate. The third thing that we are to set aside, it says here, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Jump down to verse number 6. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. So the third thing that we're to do, we're to set aside any work. And I begin to experience this with my father-in-law. I remember they lived in town and they purchased an acreage that was just right outside of town. He had a dream to live in the country a little bit, and God blessed him with a little acreage there, and I enjoyed going there, but I remember the process that took place, and I only had the weekends to go up there and to be able to be a help with him. And I remember on one particular day, I said, Ted, I don't have any time to help you. I'm in church on Sundays. And he goes, well, this is my day. He goes, and I'm not going to lift a finger to the house. Here's a funny story. I actually ended up finally persuading him to begin to put the siding on the house. He did so, but here's the funny thing about this. A week later, he had to take it all off because it was the wrong siding. So all the work that we did got washed. But anyway, he set aside those things, and I appreciate that about him. So even now, we are to set aside work, and Sundays have become a time for work. You don't have to accept a job that works you on Sundays. Matter of fact, I remember as a kid, when I went and applied for a job, my mom and dad says, now when you go in there for the interview, you tell them that you're not working any Sundays. And you don't give in to those things. Once you give in, that's when they begin to schedule you on those days. Let me ask you a question. Is work more important or is God more important in your life? Also, I want you to think of this, because work has consumed our lives on every single day of the week, and we have a hard time trying to give him one day. But think about this. Think of the lessons that you are teaching your children and possibly your grandchildren when work gets in the way of worshiping God. Think about that. You want your son and daughter to grow up and to live right and to do right, but you're in fact not practicing the very things that you're teaching to your children. And we can harm our kids, but we end up finding out what's more important later on throughout the week. Sunday is set aside for you and I to worship God. It shouldn't be set aside for anything else. And that's my opinion on that. You can take that up with me later. I don't care. I'll sick Jeff on you. But we will set more time aside for the things of this world, the things that are temporal, instead of setting time aside for God. You can't blame the pastor when things begin to fall apart in your life, your marriage maybe, your kids hating you, neglecting you, your job not going right for you, because you have neglected God. The only type of work that should be done on Sundays, again, this is my conviction, but the only type of work that should be done on Sundays is your fingers turning the pages of God's Word. That's the type of work that should be done on Sundays. You know, it's a sweet sound to be able to open up your Bible and to be able to turn the pages. It's a sweet sound. I like that sound. You know, for a while I was using my tablet for everything. But you know, the thing that I missed the most was opening up the Word of God and having the pages turned. I don't know if you noticed, but I've gotten back to that because I love that sound. And I'm proud to say that this is my background that I was raised in. And I also understand that this is my conviction. It may not be your conviction, but this is my conviction. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. So we just read here the importance of remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. But now we're going to look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another." Let me start all over. "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So in Hebrews, we see something that is kind of similar to the book of Exodus, but it's different a little bit, and that is not forsaking the assembly. In the last few months, we have seen globally the assembly being forsaken. You heard a blessing here just a little while ago, how blessed somebody is to have the churches open, because we have seen churches closing on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, some going only to one day a week, and we've seen this take place in our lives these last few moments. People abandoning the church, believers jumping ship, and please understand where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to condemn or condone anybody, but this is all taking place because of a virus. Viruses have been around ever since I've been born. They have been here. And we need to learn how to live with them and not allow them to dictate how we live our lives. Yes, it can be deadly to some. I understand those things. Trust me, I do. My mother-in-law spent almost a week and a half in a hospital these last couple weeks. COVID pneumonia in her lungs. She's on oxygen at this very time. But she is slowly getting better. I understand it's deadly to some. I get those things. But so is a common cold. And so is a common flu, which, by the way, there are no vaccines for it. They inject you with the flu. That's what they're injecting into you. They're not injecting a vaccine into you. That's what they're doing. And so we get scared of these things. By the way, we never take in consideration that we step in our cars on a daily basis. You know how many people I see run stoplights and stop signs throughout the day? You know how many people I see driving recklessly trying to get from point A to point B because they're lagging behind or driving like a madman? But we get in our cars daily and we don't think about those things. That's life, folks. That's life. And we allow ourselves to become scared and we begin to panic, can I just give you a piece of advice that I have learned in my life these last couple months? Shut off the news. I'm not kidding you. Shut off CNN, shut off MSNBC, shut off NBC, and shut off Fox, and turn on the Word of God. Because that's where we get our hope from. That's where we're guided straight from, is from the Word of God. I would encourage you to do those things. I've done that thing, and I tell you what, I think I got some color coming back into my hair. I really do. You might not see it, but I see it. It's coming. I just put a little bit of darker gel in there, and it looks a little darker. And I understand these things can have effects on people. But we are not to forsake the assembly. What has happened, yes, is tragic. But let me remind you of a few things. God is the one who brings us into this world. And God is the one that will bring us out. Do you realize you are immortal until God is done with you? Think about that. You're immortal until God is done with you. This verse was written during a time of persecution that was coming upon believers. It's during difficult times where you and I should allow ourselves to draw closer to Him and not further away from Him. I know where my life would be heading if I was to shut God out in my life. I need to be in church. I need to be around God's people. I need to be educated in His Word. And if I begin to forsake the assembly, and if I begin to be forgetful of the Sabbath day, then my life is going to be totally different. And that's the case probably in a lot of our lives. We live in fear of what the law might do to us if we gather. Yes, we live in tough times. Yes, it might get more difficult for us, but the place where you and I need to be is in the house of God. Can I get an amen on that? Because that's where we need to be. I shouldn't have to search for an amen. That should have been a hearty one. But that's where we need to be. It's a time for us to gather as brothers and sisters, to get on our hands and knees and begin to lift up our community in prayer. It's a time for us to get on our hands and knees and to begin to lift up our elderly in prayer that need God's healing in their lives. It's a time for us to get on our hands and knees and begin to lift our pastor up in prayer that God would continue to bestow the wisdom and knowledge that he needs to deliver the word. It's a time for us to get on our hands and knees to better equip ourselves to stand up for God, to allow us to have more boldness to go out and proclaim His name. How are we going to do those things if we neglect the assembly? How are we going to do those things if we don't remember the Sabbath day? So the place is, we need to be in the house of God. It's a place where we are to glorify Him. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to rightfully glorify God. But I do know there's going to be a day when all I'm going to do when I'm in heaven is glorify Him. I'm looking forward to that day. It's a place for us to glorify Him. It's a place for us to praise Him. Well, how do we praise Him? Every time we come to church, what's the first thing that we do when we assemble ourselves and we get in our chairs? We begin to open up our songbooks and we begin to lift our voice of praise to Him. You know, one of these days we're going to stand before Him, we're going to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You know, we ought to sing that as if He's in our presence today. By the way, He is here with us. He is here with us, and our voices need to be lifted to Him. You know, it's unfortunate we can come to church, and you don't have the see the things that we see up here from the pulpit. But I'm going to say this. It is discouraging at times as you look out to the audience, and there's no lips that are moving. We are to praise the Lord God. And then finally, we are to worship the name of Jesus. Church is a place for us where we are to be educated. You know, I thought once I graduated high school, my educated days were over. Little did I know I was going to be I was getting more educated the older I got. You know, the funny thing is, I love being taught new things. I truly do. I love being educated in God's Word. There are some things that I don't understand. There are still some things that I don't know. And when I begin to have that realization of something new, I tell you what, it's exciting to me. It truly is. It's a place for us to be educated. It's a place for us to be edified. And then it's a place for us to encourage one another in the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love coming to church, and there's times where I've had a bad week or I've had a bad morning, and I can come to church and I can be encouraged by somebody. Someone can say, man, it's good to see you, and that's all I need sometimes. And it's great to be encouraged. It's great to be edified as well. But how are you going to be edified, and how are you going to be educated, and how are you going to be encouraged when the assembly is being forsaken? Pastor just read off a names, not the names, but he told you of his prayer list. 51 people. 51 people that he has come to know and love dearly in his life. That means something to him, and they mean something to us as well. And we miss these folks dearly. I would encourage you folks, don't forsake the assembly. It's a time for us to be here, not to be away. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Don't forsake the assembly. If you neglect God's house because you don't like the preaching, then let me tell you these next few words. Then get right with God. I've heard people say, well, I don't want to come to church because sometimes the preacher's too convicting. It's not the preacher that's doing the convicting, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's convicting you because he wants you to get right with him. You forsake the assembly because you're at odds with one another. If that is you, get right with God. And if all you do is complain about this, that, and the other thing, get right with God. Church is a place for us to be around one another, to learn how to worship God better, to learn how to glorify him and learn how to praise him much better than we do. But sometimes we have the wrong attitude about things. The things that I just mentioned. Can I say this? Change your attitude. And once you change your attitude, you will be right with God. The Lord's Day needs to be recognized as his once again. It's not our day. It's not what we want to do with our life that day and how we want to live our life that day. It's about setting the time aside for him and recognizing his greatness, being appreciative of the love that he has for us, and begin to worship him. It's not our day, but it's the Lord's day. Be excited that we have the privilege to worship him. Also, we have a great responsibility to pass this through the next generation. How would I expect my daughter to remain faithful to God and to remain faithful to church if I don't practice what I teach? One day I will not be here, but she will be. She might have a husband someday and some kids someday, and what I have taught her will continue through her. And then that process begins to keep going forward. But if I forsake God's assembly, and if I don't take time to remember the Sabbath day, what's that going to do for her? If they don't see us living it, preaching it, practicing it, then what would be their motive to live for Jesus in the future? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and forsake not the assembly. Church is the place where we need to be. You want to know where I feel the most safety at? I don't know why I do, but it's here. I feel safer inside these four walls than I do in other places. I can't explain that. But I love the fact that God has given us a tremendous privilege to gather as brothers and sisters in him, to remember the Sabbath day, to ponder upon it, to meditate, to be around one another. What a great privilege and a great honor. Well, it might not fit my schedule. Can I say this? Change your schedule. Change your schedule. By the way, some of your schedules need changed. It truly does. Well, I might not, I don't like it, and it's going to interfere with some things. Well, maybe you're interfering with what God wants to do in your life because you're not taking the time to remember the Sabbath day. See, I'm just thankful that I have a God who gave us his Son so that we can come here and worship him. Someday, one day, it might be taken away from us. And we got to be appreciative of the fact of what we have now. Forsake not the assembly. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Let's have a word of prayer this evening and we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've allowed us to have. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just want to thank you for the folks that came out tonight. They didn't have to be here, but God, they have a desire to be here. They have a desire to be around your people, and they have a desire to hear your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work and bless in our lives. God, I just want to take time right now to lift up the ones that we haven't seen in a long time. God, we love them and we miss them, and we want them back as quickly as possible. God, I pray that you would just begin to work and to bring them back in here. And God, as we continue to meet, help us to ponder upon the things that we have been taught this day. Help us to meditate upon those things and apply them to our lives. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.